Mac and Bobby, get them out real quick. Go ahead and get them out real quick if you can. Everybody gets one. These are just a copy of one little sheet of one of our outlines in Romans. And Annie's got hers with her. And everybody gets one. So as soon as we can get them out, as quick as we can. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. While they're waiting, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We have that ready. We're glad you're here tonight. Acts chapter 8. Glad you're here. Continue to tell the people about our website and give them one of our new tracks. It's got the website on it, on the back of it. By the way, Karen's going to have a birthday this Tuesday. Karen Stevens, happy birthday. I won't tell you how old she is, around 25, so around there. And so she's going to be this Tuesday. And Tippy Brooke. Tippy Brooke's going to be 7 years old Saturday. 7 years old for the Tiffer. Tippy Brooke, Papa's little Snooky Snook. Yes, sir. 7 years old. Mike, I watched your girls grow up. They grew up so fast. And I imagine Tippy's going to do the same thing on Papa. I see Amanda here in the front. I don't want to embarrass her, but I remember when Amanda was just a little... I got pictures of when she was just a little kid. Now she's getting to be a big girl. I got a picture of Leo. I was standing at a golf course with Natalie. I think Natalie was about 5 years old. Levi was probably about 8 or 9. I don't know how old. But I love seeing our kids grow up in this church. Amen. Austin Shell, we're proud of Austin. He's in the bulletin today. Austin did a great job with the writing that essay against drugs and alcohol. And Austin, I'm really proud of you. And me and David went and heard him read his essay the other night, and he did a tremendous job. I was so proud of him. Let's give Austin a great hand. Amen. Really proud of Austin. Austin Shell. All righty. How are we doing on the paperwork? Okay. Just put the rest out on the foyer. If you need to know someone, want one, take one. Okay. Let's stand for Acts chapter 8. Let's stand for reading God's Word. Glad you're here tonight. By the way, we had 3 or 4 or 5 visitors this morning. There were some others. There were some visitors that brought visitors. They didn't raise their hand, but they came. Some teenage girls. There were some teenage girls. I don't know if they were in your class this morning, but they came for preaching. And I think their grandma brought them. And maybe we can run them down for next week. They didn't put a card in, but in any event, we're glad that they came. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Philip's out in the desert, this Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading the book of Isaiah, and God sent Philip. You know, unless we go to people, they won't understand. And he says to him, look at verse 30. Do you understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? By the way, when we read the Bible before we got saved, we didn't understand it either. We needed someone to show us. That's why we need to show others also. Amen. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of Scripture, which he read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before the shearer, so he opened not his mouth. By the way, he's reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, or himself, or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus. Don't promote anything but Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. And as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What does it mean to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest thou with all thine heart, thou mayest." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." How many believe that? Say amen. Amen. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both. He didn't get sprinkled. They went down both into the water. And Philip and Eunuch, and he baptized him. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this wonderful portion of Scripture. We're actually going to see this. Actually, we're going to see both these men, Philip and this eunuch. When we get to heaven, we're going to see them both. And Father, I thank you that he got saved. I thank you that you sent a messenger with the message of Christ. And I pray tonight that you'd help me be a blessing to the people. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just help me to glorify Christ in all that we say and do. And Father, bless these dear folks for coming tonight. Lord, please bless them and encourage them in the things of God, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. You'll notice in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He said, "I believe." And see, reading, I chose this. Here's a man that got saved. Here's a man, he didn't get saved by getting baptized, because the question was, here's water. What's hindering me from getting baptized? He said, you got to trust Christ first. See, baptism doesn't save. People get baptized because they are saved. Amen? And so now this eunuch was saved, and the moment he trusted Christ as his Savior right there out in the middle of that desert, he was saved, saved, saved immediately. God reached down from heaven and saved his soul. Can anyone say amen? See, you don't wait on salvation. Salvation is immediate. It's immediate. It happens the moment you say yes to Christ. Christ says yes to you and saves your soul. Can anyone say amen? In Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer said to Peter and then to Paul, was it Peter there? Was it Paul? My mind's getting clouded right now. Lord, help me. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 30. At midnight, verse 25, Paul was in the prison, him and Silas. And they were released. And they'll notice with the man at the verse 30, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And look what he said to them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, a person doesn't work for a salvation. A person doesn't earn salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't do nothing to deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's grace. Grace of God. Grace, grace. God's grace. And grace means unmerited favor. It means no matter what we did, we never did nothing to merit it. It's a gift of God. Amen? And the moment this man and the moment the eunuch over in Acts chapter 8, the moment they trusted Christ as their Savior, that very moment, they became a child of God. Amen. And that very moment, that very instant, that very second, when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are wonderfully, miraculously, marvelously saved that very moment. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Even them that believe on His name." John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life." Past tense, you already got it. Hath. So the moment you believe, you got it. Bam, it's been imputed to you. "Hath everlasting, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Hallelujah. You step from dying to step to living. Amen. You step from unbelieving to believing. Can anyone say amen? Now, when you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you stand before God justified. Justification means this. God sees us just as though we've never sinned. God sees us just as though we've never been in the lost, fallen race of Adam. And you stand without sin. Romans 4:8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord would not impute sin." In other words, that word impute, He won't charge sin against you. The reason He won't charge it to you, He charged it to Christ. And you took, by his stripes we are healed. Amen? And you took what he did for you. Hebrews 10:17 says this. And their sins, Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Psalms 103:10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 12 of Psalms 103. As far as east as from the west, so far hath removed our transgressions from us. If Annie went east and Tommy went west, they'd never see each other again. Because they're eternal points that never end. Are you with me? That's how far God has washed away your sins. That's how far God has placed your sins once you get saved. Isn't that exciting? See, now are they forgiven, they're forgotten. And now they're forgiven and forgotten, Bobby, they're forever removed. Can anyone say amen? And so, our sins are under the blood of Jesus. All God sees is the righteousness, holiness of Christ, which is given to us when we believe on Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He has made Him to be Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ didn't know no sin. He was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That we might be made, I like that, Tommy, that we might be made. Amen. I was thinking about when I studied this, about in Romans chapter 1, those rational sinners that go away from, they become idolaters. They become, we are made, just like they did by going away from God. He made us righteous. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. I don't have no righteousness, but He made me righteous. Robbie, I could never make me righteous, but God made me righteous, and He made me, Brother Boggs, and you too, Brother Bud. Birthday boy, 79 yesterday, Hallelujah Square, amen. Me and Bud, the old baseball players we are, we're going opening day, by the way, see the arrows, Hallelujah, amen. Play ball. But Bud, the moment you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, He made us righteous. No, I know I'm filled with sin. Bud still messes up once in a while. Just ask Marty. She'll tell you. Not very often, though. Bud will tell you that. Yeah, there's none righteous, no, not one. We know that. For all sin and come short of glory of God. There's not a just man that walketh upon the face of the earth that sinneth not and doeth good. Hello, get anyone home? Say amen. But no. Any wonder, thank be to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins and shed His blood on Calvary's cross, rose that third day. That wonderful, righteous Son that God imputed all our sin and put His wrath on Him that we might be made right in Him. He judged His Son so you and I could have propitiation, forgiveness through Christ, remission of our sins, forgiveness. Are you with me? Now He makes us right. Righteousness in Christ, and we're saved, and we stand before God justified. Now, get your paper. We're going to do this real quick. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. And Brother Brent, I'm glad I've been justified by God. But Grandma, I think a lot of people, when they're saved, they really don't realize all that God does for them. Oh, we're saved, and you can't get better than saved. Are you with me? Once you're saved, you can't get no farther than saved. Are you with me? There's some other terminology, justification. We're justified. But when I'm talking to you about this, I'm talking about how much more God does for us. You know, we say we're saved, but Tommy, we know we're saved, but a lot of people don't realize it's much more than being saved. God does so much more than just save us. And tonight I want to show you a few scriptures. Jimmy, when you and Betty got saved, when you trusted Christ a few months back, you didn't know this. But that very moment you asked Christ to save you and Betty, the moment The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made into drink of the one Spirit. That very moment you asked Christ to save you, when you believed on Him, the Spirit of God came into you. Scripture says He did an operation made without hands. You had heart surgery. Brother, we had heart surgery and didn't even know it. Amen, Brother Coolidge? We had heart surgery. God did it, and better than laser. He did it by Spirit. Amen? What a surgeon. Jesus didn't even leave a mark. No scars, because the scars are all on Jesus. Even those won't be scars. Those wounds will never, we'll see those forever in eternity. Are you with me? Okay, look at your paper. Just think of all the things Jesus does for us after you receive Him as your Savior. Well, you're justified. Another term for saved is you've been justified. You've been justified. God sees you just as though you've never sinned. This isn't on your paper. You can put this to three P's. You've been justified from the penalty of sin. The first P. Most of you took in Romans, so you've already got the three P's. I know. And you've been justified by the penalty of sin. You don't have to worry about the wrath of God anymore. Jesus took it for you. You're justified from the power of sin. Now you got the new man inside you, the Holy Spirit. You can overcome the old man by yielding to the Spirit of God. Those three key words, knowing, reckon, and yield. Amen. How to overcome it? Can't do it tonight. And then the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day, hallelujah, we're going to be taken out of the presence of sin. Now, look at Romans. You turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let me quote you Romans 10:13. Okay, look at your paper. How many are glad they're saved? All right. I preached to you this morning about whosoever. And those that don't get saved are without excuse, because whosoever will may come. Amen. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that very moment, how many have asked Christ to save him? If you're here, let me see if you have you asked Christ to save you. Okay? That very moment you ask Christ to save you, for whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. According to God's word, if you meant it from your heart, my mother says in verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt convince of thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Remember those verses right before it? Hello? Jew or Gentile, same Lord, Greek, and all. If you really meant it from your heart, for whosoever, that means anyone, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. All right. So if you ask Christ to save you, does he promise to save you? Okay. See, a lot of people ask Christ to save them over and over and over, but he only gets saved one time. And see, a lot of people, they don't understand about that fallen nature. We all have a fallen nature. We're going to have it till the day we die. It's called the old man, Mr. Sin, Cardinal Mind, Romans 8:7. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither need can be. But and so they wrestle with that. Even Paul talked about in Romans 7. He says, oh wretched man, them who shall do me from this body of sin? He said, when the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. Paul knew about that fallen nature. Hello. By the way, we all know about it. And so, see, and a lot of people don't know about the great doctrine of justification. They think they've lost their salvation because of that fallen nature, they sin. See, everyone sins. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all your preacher's sins and all your sins, all my past, all my present, and Jeannie, he died for all my future sins. Plural. See, all the sins that I'm ever going to commit, and by the way, it doesn't give you a license to commit it. If you're really saved, you don't want you. Your heart will say, "No, I don't want. I want to please God, not go against God." Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can anyone say amen? Amen? But when he died on the cross, he died for all the sins of the world. The sin that, see, those, none of those sins, being a murderer, being an adulterer, killing somebody, stealing, lying, cheating, all those sins were all forgiven. Being a murderer doesn't send anybody to hell. Committing suicide doesn't send anybody to hell. Those have already had blood atonement to it. The sin that sends people to hell is one sin. The sin of unbelief. Those that reject Christ. See, all the sins of mankind, He took on the cross. He drank the cup of all those sins. That's why Christ sweat blood in the garden. He knew His holiness was going to become sin. And just the thought of being sin, it was repulsive to Him. He wasn't trying to get out dying. The dying wasn't... His heart was broken over having to become our sin. He was made our sin. Who knew no sin. He didn't know no sin. But He took our sins. Can anyone say amen? See, the sin that sends people to hell... It's not the sin of lying, cheating, and all the everything else, chewing, and those that do. Tommy's got a little phrase. Those sins are all nailed at the cross. The sin that sends people to hell is rejecting Christ as Savior. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, all the sins are that He died for, you're covered by the blood of Christ. Now watch, He saves us. He justifies us. Romans 4:25. For He was delivered for our offenses and raised again. You don't have that in your write that down in your paper. Romans 4:25. Put it right at the top. Put it right at the very top of your paper. Romans 4:25, because I'm talking about justification tonight. For he was delivered for our offenses, Romans 4:25, and raised again. For our justification, we're talking about that word justification and the truth of that tonight. Well, what does God do when He saves us and justifies us? Well, number one, He saves us because He says, if you ask me, I will. How many believe God's word? Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And by the way, I preached that this morning. Whosoever, that means anyone. It's not just a select group of people. There's some people that teach that there's a select group. Listen, there's no select group. God died for all people. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Not only does He save us, look at number two. He sanctifies us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness? How many are glad for that righteousness? And, by the way, Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness is but filthy rags. Good thing we got God's, or we wouldn't have none at all. Because ours is filthy rags. He's made unto us righteousness, and what's the word? Sanctification. The word sanctification means He sets us apart. He sets us apart in Christ. And redemption. Redemption is when we get a new body, Jamie. Boy, I can't wait to get mine, Bobby. I need this old boy. I can't wait to get a brand new body. Amen. Body never gets sick, never gets tired, never gets old, never dies. Hallelujah. Doesn't get headaches, earaches, toothaches. Don't have to pay no bills at the dentist. Hallelujah. Just that alone takes a lot of ache out of it. Amen. I don't know what's worse, the dentist bill or the toothache. Amen. Anyways, notice. That's good, wasn't it? So He saves us. He sanctifies us. Number three, He gives us His Spirit. We're not going to turn to all these. I'm just going to quote. We're just going to look at one. You can look at those up. Look at John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. John 14. Everything I'm showing you tonight, He does this right after you're saved. John, if you could just. That's why I say more than saved. If you realize all that God does for you. You say, I'm saved, but oh man, that word saved encompasses so much. So much more. You could make it saved and so much more added that God does. You could also put like yabba dabba doo. Amen. Look at, He saves us. He sanctifies us. He gives us His Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, large S, capital S, how do you see that? Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knows Him because ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, this Holy Spirit, and shall be in you. I'm just reading the Bible. The moment you got saved, God's Holy Spirit came in you. You say, well, I didn't get it. If you didn't get it, you're not His, because Romans 8:9 says, if any have not the Spirit of God, they're none of His. But God says the moment you trust Him, you got it. I'm not going to, 1 Corinthians 12:13, I quoted to you, for by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and all men may drink one Spirit. That's not water baptism, that's spiritual baptism. By the way, Ephesians 5:30 says, become members of His body, His bone, His flesh. Look at the next thing. Number four. Not does He save us, sanctify us, give us the Spirit. He seals us. Ephesians 4 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Brother Dale, the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, He not only did He save you, not only did He put us, sanctify you, set you apart, not only did He put His Holy Spirit in you, but He sealed you. And He sealed you until the day of redemption. The day of redemption, when He comes, we get brand new bodies. That's sealed. A lot of you girls can a lot of stuff. Jesus believes in canon. He canned us and sealed us until the day of redemption. Amen? You say, preacher, can I believe this? Would you not believe God? We don't have time, but my Romans class, in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, talks about how we trusted Him after we heard the word and we were sealed. And then verse 14 says, which is His earnest. See, the Holy Spirit is God. The word earnest means down payment. And God gave us His Holy Spirit to say, I'm coming back. He's my down payment to show you that I'm coming back. Can anyone say amen? And then you can all look those scriptures up. Then neither does He save us, sanctifies us, gives us the Spirit, seals us. He makes us a son of God. John 1:12 says, but as man received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Even if we believe on His name, we have sonship. I once was a child of Satan, now I'm a child of God. 1 John 3, don't turn to it. I'm just going to try to quote these. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see Him, we shall be like Him as He is. I'm telling you, folks, it's so exciting. Man, I'm a child of God. But you know what? I wasn't all the time. But now He's made me come into the family of God. Can anyone say amen? And so, now, He saved us, He sanctifies us, He puts His Spirit in us, He seals us until the end. He gives us sonship. I used, in the Romans class, I used Brother Howard and his son, Josh and Brother Phil. Josh to be in the son and Phil the father. And I said, no matter what Josh does, I know he is one of our finest teenagers in our church. But as fine as he is, he still can mess up. And I'm sure he makes Kathy and Phil very happy of him, proud of him. But I said, there might be a day that he might mess up. Because everybody messes up. But he'll still be their son. See, God, even though we falter in sin, no matter what Josh does, he'll always be Brother Phil's son. Joshie Porter will always be Mother Mike's son. I'm going to remind you that too, Josh. You become a great golfer and make millions of dollars like those. We remind you that, hey, we need to come back here and help build this work. Amen. You're a son of Mike Porter, aren't you? Amen. It was a joke. Oh, well. Notice. No matter what Josh does, he's Mike and Blinda's son. Can that ever change? David Richards, my son. No matter what David Richard does, he's my son. Because he's got my blood in him. He's got my DNA. See, we've been washed in the blood. We've been born again by incorruptible seed, that seed of Christ. Of the Word. Davy, we've got the DNA of God. Can anyone say amen? No matter what happens, we might falter. We might make him ashamed. We might disappoint him. But we don't lose our sonship. We lose our fellowship, but we never lose our sonship. It's impossible because he made us. We're sealed. We're in his hands. No one can pluck him out of his Father's hands. Are you with me? So he saves us. He sanctifies us. He gives us a spirit. He sets us apart. He seals us. He makes us a child, a son of God. Number six, he preserves our soul and spirit blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'll just read you Psalms 97:10. He preserveth the souls of his saints. Listen, he preserves our souls. Paul says, I know who I believed in. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed against that day. Paul knew over there in Thessalonians. He knew that he committed his soul unto God because he knew God was going to preserve it. See, our God's able. And so, you see, he preserves us, our soul and spirit. And then look at Ephesians 2:6. There's like about three or four there in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He sets us in heavenly places. If you could get all this stuff, I'm telling you. I'm under the clock today. We've got a late start and the time's coming, but this is such great stuff. Look, he sets us in heavenly places. Look at Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Levi, you might not realize this right now, but did you know God's, I'm not whacked. Preacher wasn't drinking before he came here. I know Levi sitting on that one of those chairs in the front. I can see Levi. But according to God, and even though Levi's sitting there, and I know he is, because I can see him. By the way, there's some churches believe they're really wacko, wacko, wacko. They say, that chair's not really there. You just imagine it's there. They wrote all the shows for Rod Sterling in the Twilight Zone. Amen? Anyways, but there really are people that teach that. They're really walking through the tulips. Anyways, but I'm not walking through tulips right now. God says, look at Ephesians 2:6. It's so tremendous. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Although Levi is right down here right now. Eddie, Steve, you're right here next to your mama. But I'm telling you right now, because you're born again Christian, God already sees you risen. He calls those things which are not as though they are. And because Christ is risen, everybody, when he arose, everybody else rose with him. And even though I know we're waiting for the resurrection, God reckons us already risen, sitting in heaven, in Christ, with him. Hallelujah. Nah, 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 devil can't get me. And he's done that for us. If Christians could just understand what God has done for them, Jimmy, he sees you and Betty already up there. Listen, I'm not worried about making it. I'm already there, according to God. God already said, he said, Preacher Skyver, I've reckoned you already, even though you're not there right now, and I want you to keep preaching for me for a while. I've got a place for you. And by the way, according to me, preacher, I've already reckoned you already up there. You're already risen in Christ. Can anyone say amen? See, you don't have to worry about going to heaven. If you're really saved, God has already got you up there. Think about that one for a while. And then Ephesians, now that we sit in heavenly places, before when I was lost tearing up the world for the devil, I was alien and a stranger from heaven. But look at Ephesians 2:19. Look what he did for me there. We're no number 8. We're no longer strangers, but we're citizens of heaven. Look at 2:19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. He made the saints, by the way, too. And the household of God. Woo! Man, I'm not a kid just got saved off the streets of Galena. Oh, much more than that. I'm a child of God.
Hey, let rich guy in. He's family. Hello, what's alcohol? No, he's family. He's in the household of God.
Man, I was so alien and foreign to that house. I'm a part of the family of God. Hello? He did that right after you got saved. Can anyone say amen? You say, oh, preacher, can you really? You'd be a fool not to believe this. Is God's word true? The very moment, you're not a stranger no more, man. You're part of the family. Come on in. Let him in. He's part of the family. Well, I thought he was an enemy. No, not no more. He's family. He's family. And then he makes, number nine, he makes the saints. And you read that right there in 2:19. Romans 1:17 talks about being a saint. 1:16, the Psalms, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Listen, you don't, the moment you get saved, you become a saint. No church can canonize you or homogenize you or pasteurize you or simonize you and saintinize you. God does that the moment you get saved. And if you're not a saint, you ain't. You ain't going to heaven. Because everyone who trusts Christ as Savior is called a saint. Is made a saint in the Son of God. Can anyone say amen? And then I preached on this Wednesday. Get the tape. Number 10. Now that he saved us, sanctifies us, gives us the Spirit, seals us till the day of redemption, makes us a son, preserves our soul and spirit blameless. We sit in heavenly places. We're no longer strangers, but we're fellow citizens. Hey, by the way, Tommy, my citizenship's in heaven. Think about that. I'm a citizen of the United States, and I have dual residence, but my real residence is heaven. Amen. This is just a temporary one here. My eternal one's up there. And then he makes the saints, and then he gives us ministering spirits, which are angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not ministering spirits which are sent for those who heir of salvation? I preached the whole message on angels Wednesday night. If you weren't here, get the tape. I imagine they taped it. I preached a message on angel. Brother David teaches in the Bible Institute a whole semester about angels. You want to hear about angels? Take Brother David's class. And so he actually gives us ministering spirits. In other words, angels to watch over us. We have what you call guardian angels. How many ever heard that word? They got it from the Bible. The moment you got saved, Betty, God, Coolidge, the moment you and I got saved, because God knew we really needed them, we had guardian angels. I said this Wednesday night for Brother Eddie Wilson. He drives his car so fast. God's got not four angels for Eddie. That'd be one in each bumper, one in each corner of his car. I think he's got them all around his car. I think Eddie's got 6 or 8, 10, so many. You know, I think he's got a lot of them. Matter of fact, all those Wilsons, I think he's got. He's brought a legion out for them. I really believe that. and right on down through the family, Misty. I mean, they're all. She's a Wilson now. You see, she's in the family. It all goes with the family. And so, but aren't you glad that He's done all that since we got saved? He saves you. He sanctifies you. He gives you His Spirit. He seals us until the day of redemption. He makes us a son of God. He preserves our souls and spirit blameless. He makes us to sit in heavenly places. We're no longer strangers. We become saints. He gives us guardian angels, spirits, ministering spirits to watch over us. Can anyone say amen? Number 11, not only that, after we become saved, Philippians 4:19, He supplies all our needs. Philippians, for my grace is sufficient for thee. And for my God shall supply all my needs according to through Christ Jesus. Amen? But my God shall supply all my need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. That's what Scripture says there in Philippians 4:19. This is all in the package. These are all the fringe benefits. If I can use that. And it costs you nothing. It costs Jesus everything. And then He gives us all sufficiency. And by number 12, Jesus gives me sufficiency. It says, my grace shall be sufficient. Even though what we might face a lot of things in this world, God gives us grace sufficient. I mentioned Pastor Sam Goble and his wife died. God gave him grace sufficient. He stood like a man of God. And even though in the midst of his children being burnt up and his wife literally going to be with the Lord, his God gave him grace. By the way, he'll give you that grace in that time of hour. My grace is sufficient. Can anyone say amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice number 13. And Jesus gives me a surety of my salvation. Listen, turn to that. I'm going to turn to that. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. He gives me a surety of my salvation. In 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's Jesus. I'm in 1 John 5, 12. He that hath the Son, which is Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. That's not hard to understand. If you got Jesus, you got eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. Now, for you that do have Him, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. How many believe on Him? All right, if you believe on Him, He's writing verse 13 for you. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope that you go to heaven. No, that's not what it says. That you may know. That you may know. That you may know. God wants you to know something. He's God. His salvation, sure. He sealed you, saved you, sanctified you, set you apart. Since you're set right now, you're saved forever. He wants you to know that. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Man, don't let the devil trip you up. Man, I'm not saved. I don't feel like I'm saved. Hey, there's a lot of days I wake up, man, I don't feel like I'm saved. I wake up with my headache or some kind of ache and pains. Oh man, it's cloudy. Ravenna, we don't count the cloudy days in Ravenna. We count how many days the sun comes out. Amen. Like five or six a year. Anyways, I can't wait for that unclouded day I'm going to. Amen. See, Christians, they go around sorry when they ought to be happy. See, I don't walk in doubt. I walk with a surety. But my surety, I was sharing with the people the other day. I had a hope that this guy with the $10 million was going to come to my house and give me that clearing publishers. And I was going to give money to build a new building out there in the infirmary, pay cash. Wouldn't that have been great? But that was a false hope. They kept sending me emails. We could be there. We're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to be there tomorrow. My Richard Skyver, Ravenna, was going to be. And boy, I was hoping. And they didn't come. Nat didn't get her horse. Tippy didn't care about a horse. She was just, her and Ray Ray just wanted money. Yeah, David Devson, forget that. We just want money. Give us our inheritance right now. You see, that was a worldly hope. And all that the world can offer us is false. But see, I want to tell you young people something. There is something in the world that you can take for a sure surety. Something that you can believe and trust. It's God's Word. Ed McMahon or whoever it was didn't show up that day. But Jesus said He's going to show up. He's going to. He said, you got eternal life, you've got it. He said, you got a mansion in heaven, you got it. Amen. He says He always sees us risen in Him. We're there right now. How are you doing there? Even though we can't see Him. Can anyone say amen? These things are written that you might know. I have a no-so salvation. I'm not prideful. I'm not doing that anything because of me. but on the authority of God's Word. And because of God's Word is true, I know that I'm going to go to heaven, not because of anything I deserve, but because of Christ and me putting my faith in the Son of God. I know I'm going to heaven. Carl, I've lost my temper a lot of time. Almost broke TVs over football games. Shake my fist at people that run me off the road a few times. Hello, shouldn't do that. It's a preacher. But you know what? I'm made of clay just like you. I'm just being honest. I told you a story years ago. I was in Toledo. One of my senior citizens, we went everywhere. We were this close. We were real close. Brother Jimmy, he's in heaven now. And we went to nurse homes. He used to play the guitar, and I'd preach. He'd sing. We went one day. This guy ran me off the road, Eddie, right there, right on Summit Street, right by Riverside Park. Man, I almost went up and hit the statue. And I went. I started to go like this to him, you dirty old man. And then I saw it was Jimmy. I went. When the next day we met at church, he said, "Preacher, before you waved at me, I saw your fist." And he said, I'm sure glad, as mad as you were, I'm sure glad you knew who I was. we're all sinners, aren't we? But see, I'm not counting on me to get to heaven. I've trusted on Christ to get me to heaven. By the way, though, I still want to please Him. And that was not pleasing to Him. But we have I'm not trying to, please don't misread me. God doesn't want us to have a license to go out and sin. I'm just saying we have a fallen nature, and sometimes we don't control that nature like we should. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Notice, we have a no-soul salvation. And then 1 Peter 5:10 says look at that. Look, it's right. You're in 1 John, so you're right close to Peter. Turn back. 1 Peter, you're real close to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. This is Dr. Brooke gave me this years ago. What a great verse. Because he really had to do that for me. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal... What kind of glory? His eternal glory. How did He do it? By Christ Jesus. After you suffer a while, make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. See, Carl, He's still working on us. He's doing all this for us. They sang a song. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. It took Him only 6 days to make the sun and the moon. And blah, blah, blah. You know, but you know what? But He's still working on me. I'm really one of those bigger cases up there. Amen? What a project. You know, but He establishes and settles us. See, he doesn't just save us and leave us alone. He's there to give you stability. How many are still with me? And then, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. I love this. He definitely put this in my heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Yeah, we're born again. We're born again by Him. Amen. Unto a lively hope. Man, I'll tell you, I used to run for Satan. Now I'm glad I run for the Savior. A lively hope. Listen, how can Christians be down? How can Christians be sad sacks? Duh. Nothing good ever happens, preacher. Man, if you're saved, you ought to be the happiest person on the earth. Take that frown off your face. Put a smile in His place. Let His personality unfold. Open up, start to sing. You're a child of the King. Now go out and tell the world. Dun, 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 boom, boom, boom. We ought to have that. Listen, I'm telling you, even when I'll be listening to stuff. I know I get excited in church. I'll be listening to singing home or listening in the car, and I'm shouting, screaming, jumping up. It's just in me. He's given me a lively hope. By the way, He put it in you too. You just need to exercise it. Believe it. He gives a lively hope by the... Look how He gave it though. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because, and He sings a song, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. he didn't live, we didn't have no, we couldn't face tomorrow. Look what he gives us. To an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. Watch this. And fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Yes, sir. Man. Jim and Betty, the moment you got saved, bam, that happened that very moment. He reserved a spot in heaven for you. For you. For you. For Marty, when you got, for you. That's for you, Bobby. That's for you. Yabba dabba doo. Reserved in heaven, if you're saved, for you. Preacher, can I believe that? Well, can you believe God? He doesn't lie. In hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began. Titus 2:1. Are you with me? Who, look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can anyone say amen? See, it's all Him. See, the only thing we got to do with the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose, according to the scriptures. Do you know what man has for salvation? Man has a responsibility to believe. There's no work that man can do. The only thing you have is a responsibility to believe on Christ. All the work has been done by Christ. Everything, all of it is done by Him. It's all Him, none of us. That's why it's so great. Because if I had part in it, I'd mess it up. Hello? Aren't you glad it's all God? We got to close this out. Isn't this great stuff? Folks, this is what He's done for you. This is what He's doing right now for you. And then, it's reserved. He's already got a... We didn't have to make the reservation. He made it for us. Oh, man, this is so great. And then He satisfies me. He gives me peace and with all understanding, Philippians 4:7, that God gives us that passes all understanding. The peace of God passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. Then, number 17, neither does he save me, sanctify me, put a spirit in me, seal me to the day of redemption, make me a son, preserves my soul and spirit blameless, it makes me sit in heavenly places. Now I'm not a stranger no longer in heaven, I'm the household of God, I become a saint. He gave me ministering spirits, watch over angels, watch over me. He supplies all my need. He supplies all my sufficiency. His grace, He's the surety of His salvation for me. I don't have to worry about that if I'm going to go to heaven or not. I know I'm going because He's assured me of it. He established me in my walk here. He strengthens me. He settles me. He stirs me. He secures me. He's made a reservation in heaven for me. Number 16, He satisfies me. I'm going to tell you, only Jesus can satisfy the soul. I was taught in the Romans class, every person's got a void in their heart. And that's why people reach out, all these millionaires and stars, they reach out to try to satisfy they take more, but they can't satisfy it. Because you and I know, Brother Coolidge, it's only Christ that can satisfy the soul. People are searching. Look, if you're searching out there today, your search can end if you'll just come to Christ. He'll satisfy your soul. And then 17, He scourges us. What's that word scourge? It means He spanks us. Now we won't. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says He scourges every son whom He receives. In other words, that word scourge, another word for spanking. Let me take you to West Virginia again. He takes you out to the woodshed. How many are getting the picture? When you're really a child of God, we do wrong. God chastens us. He spanks us. The Holy Spirit will grieve in our heart. Oh, no, you're going against the Lord. And He'll make us miserable. And He might even do things against us that really He could. I'm making a statement, but boy, not everything bad that happens to people is because God's spanking them. A lot of things happen to people because we live in... I get my message from 2 weeks ago. What a tremendous message. The suffering and afflictions of the world. That explained the whole thing. On Sunday morning, about 3 weeks ago, I preached a message on sufferings of the world. But sometimes he does spank his children. I showed my class. There's 1 John 5:16 talks about there's a sin unto death. I tell you not to pray for him. Moses, he smote the rod twice. He smote that rock twice, and he shouldn't that was. And God said, because you did that, you died early. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. They died early. I there's all kinds of scripture for different people died early. Christians, they were chasing. But usually they have to go real long distance before God does that extreme. But he does spank them. And he will take people out if he has to. And then lastly, by the way, if you don't get spankings, I'd be afraid. You know, I've never spanked Jimmy Shell. I've never spanked Austie Shell. I've never spanked that pretty little Autumn Shell. You know why? I've never spanked Skylar. They're not my children. If Skylar's going to get a spanking, he's going to get it from his mom and daddy, not from somebody else. If little Jimbo's going to get a spanking, he's going to get it from his mom and daddy or grandma or grandpa, but he's going to get it from someone in the family, especially his daddy. My mom used to say, wait till your dad gets home. Oh, Dad, please work over tonight. And I wasn't saved, and I could have prayed through maybe. Oh, God, help my dad to work over. But here, look, I'm going to quit. I could go on forever. You don't understand. I love this stuff. I love teaching. I think I might be teaching in adult Sunday school next week, unless you got someone else. David's not going to be. It'll be someone else, somewhere else, Robert. But anyways, Bobby spanks Jimmy and Austie because he's their father. Bobby, have you ever spanked the Wilson boy? No, because he's not your son, right? Have you ever spanked Austie? No, he's not your son. All right, now watch. God says the way you know I'm one of your children, you're one of my children, I spank my children. So don't get mad when he spanks you. Sometimes, every time, correction's good for us. Are you with me? And so, he says, I spank all my children. So say, okay, God, thank you. I needed that. You're going to help me do better in the future. Amen? And so, let's look at this last scripture. Now, does he scourge us and satisfy us and stirs us, establishes and surety and supplies and saves us and sanctifies and seals us in sonship and sits in heavenly place and makes us saints, supplies our needs, gives us sufficiency. Lastly, he's going to send for us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is so great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13. See, God never wants you to be ignorant about anything. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have already died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Yes. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hallelujah. We're listening for the shout. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And, by the way, the archangel is Michael. Michael. You can look in the book of Jude, you'll see that. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And because you know this, comfort one of these with these words. Hey, we're going to be with him someday. He's coming back. He's going to send for us. He's sending for us. He's calling for us. He's going to deliver us up. Isn't that great? I'm going to give you this thought. We're going to go home. Don't turn to it. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we're ambassadors for Christ. Did you ever notice a distinct thing about an ambassador? Before an ambassador goes out and he represents a country. An ambassador goes out, he represents a kingdom. An ambassador goes out and he represents a king. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to represent a kingdom. We represent a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Can anyone say amen? Did you ever notice so in the past, in years gone by, right before that kingdom would go to war with another one that had ambassadors in it, the king would send and bring back those ambassadors. And usually in the old days, Brian, the way they would get them out, they would blow a trumpet. And when those ambassadors would hear that trumpet, they would leave. And then the battle would start shortly after. You see, there's going to be a great war coming here. It's called Armageddon. Before that, there's going to be 7 years of great tribulation. But before that happens, God's going to take His saints, His ambassadors out. And Ruthie, just like the old ambassadors of old that heard the trumpet, that let them know, hey, it's time to get out, we're going to hear the trump of God. We're going to hear the words, come up hither! And in a moment of a twinkling eye, 1 Corinthians 15:51, we'll be changed in a moment of a twinkling eye. We'll be caught up. And we'll be taken out of this old earth. Can anyone say amen? So until that time that we get, until the time we hear the sound, let's be excited that we're saved, that we're sealed, that we have the Spirit, that we're satisfied, that we're sons, that we sit in heavenly places, that we're a citizenship now in Christ. Can anyone say amen? Let's be satisfied that we're kept by the power of God. Let's be happy that He's reserved a place in heaven for us. You see, I put on your paper, I'm glad I'm justified. I'm glad I'm saved. But see, there's so much encompassed being saved and justified. People say, I'm saved. Well, do you know that you're sitting in heavenly places right now? Do you know you're sealed until the day of redemption? Next time someone says it to you, say, do you know all about being saved? Because it's much more than being saved. There's much more. Much more. Oh, there's much more about salvation. Tommy, there's much more about salvation that people don't realize. You just see the first primary thing, salvation. You ought to look in the Scriptures and see how much more God does for you through that salvation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Yeah, justification, salvation, much more. So much. Salvation and so much more. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've had. Thank You for the wonderful truth of the Scriptures. Could have went on forever, working on S's. Gave us Scriptures. Draw us to Christ. Comfort us. Help us in our walk. And Father, I pray today that Christians here will rejoice. Rejoice that they're saved and rejoice that You've done so much for them. Oh God, if they could just see right that they're sanctified, set apart, sealed. The Holy Spirit dwells in them till the day of redemption. They become members of Your body, bone, and Your flesh. They have righteousness and wisdom and Lord, the justification. Oh, dear God. It just goes on and on and on. It's so wonderful. Saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, then one day praise God from the presence of sin. Lord, it's so wonderful what You teach us in the Bible. Thank God for the salvation, the gift of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never asked Christ to save you, everything I talked about tonight, you forfeit. Because if you don't have Christ, all those wonderful things I mentioned, you don't have any of those. You're here tonight, you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Could you raise a hand? I'm sure I'm saved. I'm positive. Thank you, may put them down. Is there anyone here tonight that doesn't say, preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Boy, don't lose out on that. Don't lose out on the great salvation of God. It's all Christ. It all comes from Him. How many would say, preacher, tonight, I didn't realize that God did all that for us. I'm really happy that He does. Who could say amen to that? Amen. Father, I pray that You'll bless the reading of Your Word and the preaching I tried tonight. I wanted to be a blessing. Oh God, I pray that every hearer of this message will be blessed. And I pray if there'd be any in the future that hears this, if they're not saved, may they come to the Son of God and be saved and grab hold of eternal life through Christ. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come on this verse. What page are you on, Dave? 383. If you'd like to come and pray, you come. Be saved, come. You need to get baptized, come. Whatever's in your heart, whatever God's got in your heart, you come.